Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Experience. But I'm a big fan of Dez Bryant, but my thing over the years with Dez is that he just cannot get separation from defensive backs.
If you were going to bring a player in at this juncture, you know, 1 week down and a whole lot of football left to go, what would the learning curve be for a new player joining a team at the wide receiver position?
You know, I don't think it would be that difficult, you know, because what you do is you're going to probably try to bring someone in that has some experience. And right now with Goodwin going down, Dante Pettis, you know, he made a great catch yesterday. And I have to tell you guys this little story here because I was over in Hawaii and I was doing this event for Eddie DeBarlo. It was for kids. And this guy, he walks up to me, and it was Dante Pettis. And, you know, I didn't recognize him at first and all of that. And then all of a sudden it came together. I said, yeah, this is the guy that I met. Also, when we unveiled the uniform for the San Francisco 49ers and stuff like that. And I said, okay, that was pretty cool and stuff like that. Then to actually see him get on the football field and do some great things, you know, it feels good.
Jerry, when you have a quarterback that just get paid, you know, a huge amount of money and pressure's on, he's not on a rookie deal any longer, how much pressure is on that quarterback to go out and perform well instead of just letting the game come to him? I thought at times Jimmy G looked a little rattled in the pocket, some bad decisions, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to take the sack, live to fight on another day, play the field position. At times he kind of forced it. How much pressure is it on a quarterback to just say, you know what, I got this. I'm just going to stay in my pocket.
Hey, Lo, you know what the deal is, Lo. It's like when you sign a contract of that magnitude, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, and you have to live up to that. But you got to also build a surrounding cast to help this guy where he doesn't feel like it's completely on his shoulders to win football games. And yeah, you know, I think he was pressing a little bit, but they had some opportunities yesterday and they just let him slip away, because once you get in the red zone, Lo, you know, you got to get 6 points. You got to score touchdowns. And, you know, with, Alfred, Morris, he had a fumble yesterday. Then, you know, also with, Jimmy G, he had a couple turnovers, you know, Kettle, I know Kettle is probably like kicking himself right now because, you know, he had a great football game. He had over 5 catches and about 90 yards. And it was just that one catch he just let, you know, get away. And that's just something that's going to be on his mind for a while.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. NFL Hall of Famer Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We'll jump back to the Niners in a second, but I wanted to get your thought on this. Pittsburgh and Cleveland go to overtime yesterday. They play out the 15 minutes. The game results in a tie. How do you feel about the NFL's overtime philosophy? Because every year it seems like there's a discussion that breaks out. Some guys like the idea of using the college football format. Do you like the way the NFL handles overtime now?
Yeah, you know, I used to like the old way. Whoever scores first wins the football game. But, you know, the NFL, they wanted the opponent to also have an opportunity. And it was unfortunate what happened yesterday when it came down to the kickers. And I know it was really tough conditions, but, you know, somehow those guys got to be able to kick the ball through the upright. And I just don't like having a football game to end in a tie. And, yeah, you know, for Cleveland, well, maybe a tie is a win for them. But, you know, it's just like, I'm sure to them, they were very disappointed because they should have won that football game.
Without a doubt, they had it in the palm of their hands and they let it slip through. So the winless streak continues, but the losing streak ends with the tie. Jerry, you look at the game against the Niners for Minnesota, and the Niners are obviously trying to gear up for Detroit now. How tough is it to come back after such a physical game as playing Minnesota to get ready just 6 days later?
Well, I know for one thing, we got Detroit at home, so that's going to be pretty big. And I think we haven't lost to them in such a long, long time. I think we have won like 12 straight against Detroit. Now it's just going to be up to the players to go out there and get the job done. And you could look at their offensive line. They had guys on the offensive line moving around from position to position. And, you know, with so many injuries and still I felt the Niners, you know, they have something to really build off. They just got to be able to finish and close football games. And once you get into the red zone, you score touchdowns. And if you do that, you know, I think they have a legitimate chance of winning this game this coming weekend. But it's going to start during practice, you know, to put this one behind them and say, hey, look, this is early during the season. We knew that we were going up against a good football team and we had opportunities and it just did not, you know, fall into place this time. But now we have to get ready for Detroit and win that football game.
Jerry, give me your overall perspective on the defense. Richard Sherman playing 72 plays out of 72 plays. Buckner up front, the different defensive linemen. How did you thought the defense graded out overall?
I think they did a great job of holding the Minnesota Vikings. Buckner, I think he had about 2.5 sacks. Richard Sherman also, he got a little dirty. He recovered a fumble. You know, normally defensive backs, they don't like to do stuff like that. But and also Wagner, what he was able to do. So, you know, they got some parts on defense, and they did a great job of holding Minnesota. But as an offensive team, and, you know, Lo, we all in this together, and we don't point fingers or anything like that. But, you know, offensive-wise, they're going to have to step up. And if the defense continues playing the way they're playing now, we're going to win football games.
Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Did you get a chance to watch any of Aaron Rodgers' Willis Reed performance last night?
My God. This guy, man, I'm telling you. One leg, one toe, it doesn't matter with him. He finds a way to win. And, man, I know, you know, say the game that Khalil Mack, what the game that he was having, I was saying to myself, oh, my God, I know right now John Gruden, I know the Raiders are like, they're kicking themselves right now. But I'm sure he wanted to win that football game. Unfortunately, you know, Chicago lost. But, hey, it's against Aaron Rodgers, and we know that this guy, he knows how to battle, and he's a competitor, and he's going to will his team to win.
It feels like Rodgers' place in history might not be as highly regarded because he only has the one Super Bowl ring. It's tough to put all of that on his plate, but you played with Joe and Steve. You've been around and seen, and you know personally some of the greats of all time. Where does Rodgers stack up for you?
I think Aaron Rodgers is right in the mix. He's in the talking. And I think his actions on the football field, he's a leader. He knows how to will his team on. He has that it factor. He makes everybody better around him. And I think if Green Bay is going to go, they have to go with Aaron Rodgers. And, man, I know people have predicted that, hey, it's going to be the Jaguars. It's going to be the Packers in the Super Bowl. But, you know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is on that football field and if he's healthy or if he can stand, he finds a way to win football games.
Raiders and Rams tonight wrapping up week one in the NFL slate. How hyped do you get for any Monday night game, let alone if it's that first game? You know, you have to wait until the very end of the week to play. How excited would you be to play this second half of doubleheader tonight?
Man, when you talk about Monday Night Football, the entire world is watching. You know, it's like it's all eyes on us. And if you want to make a statement, you do it on Monday Night Football. You do it on Sunday Night Football. So I remember back in the day, I was always looking forward to playing Monday Night, and you know, things have changed a little and all of that. But you know, the opening song. When the two helmets, when they collided, I was ready to go, man. I was pumped up. Lo, you know what I'm talking about.
No question, baby.
Up, man, and ready to go. And if you want to showcase anything, you do it on Monday Night Football. If you want to make a statement, you do it on Monday Night Football. So I always look forward to that.
Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champ, 13-time Pro Bowler, the incomparable Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. And Raiders, let's go tonight. Monday Night Football, baby.
Absolutely. You get the A-team on the second broadcast tonight, which I got to be honest. It's Jets-Lions is a pass. I watched so much football this weekend, I have no interest. That's a standalone game that I have no interest in watching. None. Yeah.
The debut of Darnold is not
Give me the storyline.
I know.
Jets try not to be trash heap for eighth straight year. Lions trying to win division for first time since Barry Sanders.
Lions seek 100-yard rusher for the first time since the Kennedy administration.
That game has like all the feelings of just one of those messy games.
Hopefully it'd be better than
A bit of news from Adam Schefter on Twitter. Linebacker Eric Walden is visiting the 49ers today, according to a source. Walden was cut by the Seahawks last Friday. His most meaningful season, he was with Tennessee last year. He played 16 games with the Colts in 2017, recorded 4 sacks. Maybe this has something to do with the injury to Brock Coyle, the concussion he suffered late in the game, and the fact that Reuben Foster is going to miss another. We'll have more on that. We've got to get into the Niner defense. More of your calls, 888-957-9570. Garoppolo not exactly instilling a lot of confidence in the fan base with that new contract after that first game. But did he have a worse day than John Gruden? Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Welcome back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The off-air stuff that can't come on air like you do.
Oh, yeah, your boy.
Run it on. You got to love him.
I love when people outside the room get a taste of the Joe that we know and love.
But that's what I like it. Thank you.
It was a nice time at the Stanford game. It's just there. We were parked next to some individuals who they just weren't there for the first 90 minutes of the tailgate.
Right.
And then the kid comes back. He's clearly a student. And he's like blown away that another car is parked there. And he's on the phone. And it's just we had more space. I don't know if we have enough anymore. Are you saying that loud because you want me to hear that and move the car?
Right.
Where have you been for 90 minutes?
Right.
Nothing is set up.
This is great.
Right. So I go through with it. So he realizes his friends start showing up.
Right.
And we have a very small footprint. We're not taking up this room. And he realizes we're the only ones that have music. And they want some music at the tailgate. So he comes up, but he does the big time thing. So he goes hey guys, we're going to be right next to you. We're not trying to take up too much space or anything. I'm so-and-so. And he goes, what's your name? And I was like, Joe. And he goes, John? And I go, yeah, John. He goes, well, no, I thought you said Joe. I go, then why'd you say John?
Good for you.
The whole thing. Because,
I can play this game. You don't know me.
Smart kids who are trying to be too smart. And like I said right before we came back on air, one out of every 20 times in that situation, someone's going to pop back. I just happen to be someone who claps back. But I will say, I have never in my life seen that many chandeliers hanging from trees at tailgates.
Yeah.
Is a remarkably classy tailgate.
He said they had silverware dibs, not plastic.
Yeah.
But he said chandeliers and tables and tablecloth.
I gave him the full scouting report ahead of time, and it fit the bill.
He called it. Dibs laid out everything because that was the first time I had gone down to the farm for a game.
Yeah.
And he laid out the entire thing and was like, all right, I've heard this before, but we'll see. And it was exactly like Dibs said. I was talking to Damon yesterday about it, and he goes, I once saw a grand piano there.
You said someone brought a grand piano
to a Stanford tailgate.
Oh, my God. You said there were servants out there
hired people who were like taking care of the people who were tailgating.
Did you get mistaken? They said, Joseph, please pass me the Grey Poupon.
That's how it was. And then Stanford rolled USC, which, by the way, if you're a Cal fan, I'd be very, very nervous that some of the bigger programs start looking at Justin Wilcox. I'm just going to throw that out there. Going to BYU and winning that game as a dog, Cal's now 2-0. Wilcox has got that team humming a little bit. There are going to be some bigger programs that start sniffing around individuals like him. Cal's got a good thing going with that dude. That's a buttoned-up football team for the first time in a while. But we digress, or digest, as we like to say on the program. 888-957-9570 is the number if you would like to weigh in on the conversation. The remainder of the show today, we'll have Kirk Morrison at 9:10, and Carson Palmer is going to join us at 9:30.
They're going to ask him to come out of damn retirement.
You think so? With some of this quarterback play you saw?
Well, Carson Palmer played in Arizona. Arizona looked absolutely ferocious.
The quarterback
Bradford
position. Was
fun. Oh, my God.
He can spin it. Old Sammy B.
He looks so befed.
What are you trying to say?
Like you talked about, Joe, the guy, him and Eli. But he's not. He looks way more baffled than Eli. He looks way more.
Oh, just the look on the face.
Yeah. He was sitting by himself, Dibs. It looked like he wanted to go home. He wanted to get away. He needed to jump on the Southwest. He just wanted to be out of the stadium. That guy was so shook. He was hoping and praying that someone took him out of the game. He's a hung tooth. He's a bust. He's a lie and a thief because he lied and said he could play football. And he's a thief because he's stealing Arizona's money. The guy is done. Garbo. I mean, ferocious. I don't even have a tallywhacker, whatever. I don't have the words to say.
I just glanced at my low versus Dibs sheet.
He couldn't even hit nothing.
Come to find out, he took Arizona, so I understand why you're so passionate.
They were favored. Bradford, 20 of 34. He threw 34 passes, and it resulted in 153 yards.
153.
That's an average of 4.5. There are average running backs who have better numbers than that. 4.0 TDs, one interception. This guy is Danny Ocean, except he's not as good looking and he doesn't have as merry a band of thieves. Like Bradford, his entire career has been a fraudulent case in mistaken scouting.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, he had injuries. Well, you know, they didn't use him right in St. Louis. Well, you know, he never had receivers. Well, he doesn't have an offensive line. Well, he got hurt. Well, he had bad coaching. It's just excuse after excuse. The guy is not a good football player. That's just all it is.
He's
just not a good football player. Sometimes the easiest answer is the right answer.
Yes.
And with Bradford, he's just not good.
He's
and finally,
scared.
People are starting to wake
he
up to this.
He don't even want to. I have not seen a quarterback that timid, that frail, that soft, that scared, that complacent, spooked. That ever
paid, by the way,
and
the amount of money that he's made in his career.
Paid.
That's why your Danny Ocean, Ocean's 11 reference is so appropriate.
It's the perfect. I mean,
he didn't have to knock over the keep room, the safe.
He didn't have to do anything.
Nothing.
He doesn't even have to put in a lot of hard work. Like Ocean had that great plan. Him and Brad Pitt, they had the fake safe that they break into and they videotape it and they hack in. There were so many moving parts. This guy doesn't even have to do anything. He doesn't even have to try to convince you he's a quarterback.
I'd bet my life savings you could get Wade Wilson, the quarterback coach of Dallas Cowboys, Jim Everett, and give them 1 week and they could have did what he did. 150 yards.
Jeff Garcia couldn't have thrown for a buck 60.
He doesn't have any receivers. 60. Larry Fitzgerald's not that good.
Without a doubt, Jeff Garcia could have came in and gave him 3 days, and he would have did that. Without a doubt. That guy, he's bad.
Yeah, but here's what's important.
What?
He can't be too bad because the Niners are going to play him twice, and you want him under center. Josh Rosen, the rookie. We don't want to see him just yet because he can't be worse than this.
No!
Let's not kid ourselves. He can't be worse than this. So maybe the Niner defense can take advantage of a couple opportunities against Sam Bradford. That's a conversation for down the road.
Sure.
But when we entered week one, we did a conversation on our concerns, our biggest concerns coming off the preseason. And we talked about a variety of positions, a variety of situational analysis. And one of the things we landed on occasionally was pass rush, defensive side, and the secondary, defensive side. And yesterday, all things considered, for as many of the problems that reared their head, defensively, they looked all right. I mean, you got to take what? You got to take at least seven off the board. So what? It was 17 points. 17 points.
Yeah, three turnovers the offense gave and put your defense in a tough situation. And seven of it was a pick six, so your defense didn't even have a chance to even try to stop them. You gave up 17 points. Defense, to me, they get a B-. Defense played well. They got after the quarterback. They hit well. They played good defense. The touchdown pass, let me tell you right now, that pass was Aaron Rodgers-esque. You saw Aaron Rodgers hit Devontae Adams that corner route where he just threw the fade, and the defenders right on him. They're hand-chucking each other down the field. He couldn't have put the ball in any other place. Watch. They were hand fighting. He had a hand in there. That was good coverage. Not great, but it was good, solid coverage. That was just a big-time pass. So the defense, in my opinion, they played way better, superior compared to the offense. They competed. They act like they belong out there. They hit the quarterback. They played good against the run. They gave up a couple big plays. But I think defensively as a whole, the defense outperformed the offense. Everyone said, we understood the offense. We said the offense was going to be better. No, in my opinion, defense showed a lot more heart, a lot more character, bowed their neck, played a lot more with more tenacity, without a doubt. They look like they belong on that field.
I think they struggled with some tackling in some spots. Dalvin Cook was having his way. They were not able to contain the speed of Dalvin Cook, and I know almost no team can. It's not quite Kansas City speed, but Cook was electrifying, especially early in the ball game. And I thought the tackling was a bit of an issue. Fred Warner looks like he's the real deal. 16 games, go ahead and put him in as a starter. I know that I think it was Brock Coyle who got a concussion late in the game, and you had another linebacker who couldn't even suit up, Malcolm Smith, because of injury. So you're going to have questions at the linebacker spot as you have one more week with no Reuben Foster. Boy, they sure could have used him yesterday.
Malcolm Smith is 0 for 17. He's yet to play a game for the 49ers.
Yeah. 0 for 17.
Yeah, he missed the whole season last year, and then he misses game one. At some point, it's like... fake it?
Right. Fake it till you make it. He made it, Joe, so he faked it.
Availability is everything. Yeah, we've always said that.
He's still getting paid. Work. But here's the thing. I know we talk about them not being able to tackle and do those things, and I get that. And that's why I said give them a B-. But here's the thing, guys. If I told you the Niners were going to give up, allow 17 points against your defense, wouldn't you take it against anybody in the league?
Anybody.
On Friday, if you're telling me the defense gives up 17, I'm making a sizable wager on the Niners catching 6.5. That's not even close.
That's the point. So when we want to sit and say, oh, defense, yeah, they didn't tackle well, but you bend, but you don't break. That's what I wanted to see. I said, understand tackle guys. Bend, but don't break. 17 points? You give me that against anyone in the league. If you said all year long your defense is only going to give them 17 points, you should be playing in the Super Bowl or be playing going far in the playoffs.
17 gets you deep. Go through history. Anyone who has a season that gives up 17 points a game, they're deep in the playoffs. You don't even need an offense for that. You can have the bottom five offense. That's essentially the Jaguars is what we're describing right now. We're describing a Jaguar-esque defense.
17 dips.
Yeah, that's the famous Trent Dilfer-led Super Bowl team. They were giving up less than that, and Dilfer went, 5 weeks without an offensive touchdown? And yet they couldn't be
pacing himself.
Saving it all up.
I like the point you made on Fred Warner, though. I don't care the nitty-gritty of the mistakes he may have made in that game. That's what I want in a linebacker.
Make them full speed.
They snap the ball, and the linebacker flies around the field. That's it. That's really the only criteria I'm ever going to have for a linebacker. Fly around the field, make plays. That kid is something else. Dante Pettis is another one. 2 grabs, 61 yards yesterday. That was a beautiful catch in the back of the end zone. There's a photo from the back of the end zone, 10 feet from...
fingertips.
From Pettis as he's catching that ball. Fantastic. Let me put this in perspective, because we're going to turn it over to the phones in just a second. There are a lot of people who want to weigh in on Garoppolo. I get it that there's a thought process out there, and an accurate one, that Garoppolo played poorly. I get that. Low and Dibs have made a great case on that today. I'm not necessarily anti the poor performance angle, but let's use a little bit of perspective. Let's just use a little bit of perspective. Number one, on the road at Minnesota, you opened the game with the Alabama of the NFC. You have to remember that.
Understood.
If this game were at Miami or this game were at Tennessee or Indianapolis, there'd be cause for concern. You're going to Minnesota. Just put that in context. What did you honestly expect was going to happen, right? Good quarterbacks have struggled there. But more importantly, did Kirk Cousins look all that great? Because today we're going to sit here and we're going to say, Kirk Cousins, oh man, he really tore him apart. Kirk Cousins completed 55% of his passes. His yards per attempt were 6.8 against the Niners playing at home.
Right.
Let me put that in perspective. His 55.5% completion rate, Case Keenum last year with this same team, 67% completion rate. Kirk Cousins, 6.8 yards per attempt. Case Keenum, 7.4. Case Keenum had to play road games to get those numbers. Case Keenum had to go against some good defenses. This was Kirk Cousins with all his weapons at home against the Niners, and he came up shorter than Case Keenum did. And that's $30 million a year guaranteed, $90 million guaranteed overall.
Let me tell you the biggest thing about these two quarterbacks. You saw Keenum yesterday, interception. The biggest thing about these two quarterbacks, one of them ain't going to turn the ball over. And you know who that is, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to play safe for you and me because he's no fool. Keenum's going to try to force things, and you saw that yesterday when you watched the Denver Broncos play against Seattle, throwing interceptions, doing certain things. When you look at Cousins, he didn't necessarily play you like you said, Joe. It's not great. It didn't have an outstanding game, but he took care of the ball, didn't lose the game for him, put him in situations, lived a fight on another day. That's what you want to see out of your quarterback. Yes, with that type of defense, you don't need him to go out there and throw for 400 yards. That's not how they're built. I like the system that he's in. No, he is not in a great quarterback, but in this system with that defense and the good receivers and stuff that he has around, he doesn't got to take chances.
$30 million a year for a game manager is what you're saying. And that's okay as long as they win. And that's ultimately what Alex Smith did his whole career was game manager, and he didn't get the kind of success that he hoped for. But if Cousins has those kinds of days, no interceptions, and Minnesota wins, I guess it's worth it. But it's humbling to think that they're paying that quarterback that much money when he really doesn't make that many plays.
He's going to be asked to be the difference maker in the Philadelphia game, for example. Like, Cousins isn't going to have to go out and win every single game, but there are going to be times where the defense gets jammed up, and that's where they're going to look at him and be like, yeah, this is on you today. You've got to step up and rise to the occasion. Russell Wilson was able to do that for Seattle. That defense straight nasty for years with the Legion of Boom, but there would be games on the road where they'd find themselves getting sliced up a little bit, and then Russ would be the guy that had to bail him out. Cap used to do it for the Niners, too. The Niners got into some big-time games where the defense just wasn't that stalwart unit we remember, and Cap would have to step up and make a few key plays. Every now and again, I mean, $30 million a year, that's what they're paying him for. That's what I believe they thought they didn't have in Keenum, but they could have in Cousins. We'll go back to the phones, 888-957-9570. Your grades on Jimmy Garoppolo, anything you want to talk about regarding the Niners. Do in Brentwood. Do, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Well, I have a couple points to make. I put that game more on Shanahan than I do anyone else. And I'll tell you why. He got really predictable around the goal line. I mean, what happens to sliding the tight end from the other side and having Jimmy G roll out right or even a bootleg? Let's not be so predictable around the goal line. And you know, that game is a different game if it goes 10-10 going into halftime and we get the ball back. You know, it's a completely different game. So I put that more on Shanahan than anything else. I like Shanahan, except for he didn't use his creativity that he's known for and got predictable twice with Alfred Morris fumbling the ball. I'll take your comments after. Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call. Again, it comes down to the fact that against a team like this, you have a small margin for error. And they had errors everywhere. I think Shanahan's play calling going to Morris twice in a row with bunch formations, you got to spread it out at least a little bit. Garoppolo made plenty of mistakes. There were drops. There were failures in protection. The running game didn't get going, and the defense just couldn't do enough. They had a good day, but they couldn't do enough. But what did you expect? The one reason I'm not going to go all in on anything anti-Niner or negative today is just, what did you expect? Were the expectations that the Niners would go in and hammer the Vikings? No. They were going in there and they were going to lose. We kind of told you that for about 6 weeks, that not only were they going to lose, that the Vikings were probably the bet. And that's exactly how it played out. You shake it off and you move on. It's one game. Do you not remember Chip Kelly? Do you not remember Jim Tom Sula? What was that game where the Niners went to Pittsburgh? Weren't they down like 40 at halftime of that game? Like, that was back when this organization was such a joke, you couldn't even come on the air and discuss whether or not you saw a bright spot. Or, hey, man, I really like what Fred Warner did. Or Richard Sherman, 71 of 71 snaps. Or, you know, they were in it late, but they made a couple mistakes. That used to be fire Tom Sula. And then the counter would be, well, he hasn't coached a game yet. I don't care. The press conference was miserable. Chip Kelly, why is he here? Fire him. Well, he hasn't coached a game yet. He doesn't know what he's doing. He flopped in Philadelphia, right? Like, again, a little bit of perspective. It's okay to get angry. And if you want more of a negative approach on some of the performances, you're just not going to get it from the show. It was Minnesota. If it was Indianapolis, I mean, I'd be more inclined to rip the Bengals for winning that game than I would for the Niners for losing that. What a clown show that
clown
was.
Show.
There was a point where Luck was like 11 of 13 on third down. There were situations where the Colts would hold, it'd be first and 20, and Luck would complete a 14-yard pass and then a 22-yard pass. They wouldn't even get to third down.
Marvin Lewis, bless his heart. That guy, he must got pitchers, something, because he cannot control this team. Guys between late hits and penalties, they're undisciplined. All the things that you see, they tried to give the game to Indy. You saw Luck just shredding them apart. I mean, thank God they got the fumble, of course.
Man.
And he picked it up and took it to the house.
That game was the difference, Lowe versus Dibs. You got a one game lead on me.
I actually
took Indy in that one thinking, Cincinnati's a mess. And everything you're saying and describing, I've had to look four different times to make sure that Cincinnati actually won that game. Because it felt like Indy should have won the game.
Yeah. And this is why you've got to pay attention. If you look at that final score, you're like, yeah, Cincinnati handled them. No, they most certainly did not.
No.
I was watching that for financial reasons, and good God, the Bengals look terrible. Which, the one game, there's always one game for me that I see zero plays in. That'd be Miami, Tennessee. I didn't see a single play from that game.
How did you miss it? It was on for 8 hours.
And apparently it was a 12-hour game yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a point where I was trying to put a stat together, and I was like, all these morning games are done, right? And then, you know, the Miami game hadn't ended. I'm like, how much time is left? And it said like 13 minutes in the third quarter. I'm like, what? It's 5:30. How's this game not done?
Tell me. That was brutal.
Back to the phones, Mike in Oakland. Mike, thanks for the phone call. Your thoughts on yesterday's Niner game?
Yeah, so really quick, guys, really quick. I just got to say hello. Man, you're like an idol to me. I grew up watching the Chargers as a kid. Even though I grew up in Oakland, I feel like I'm the Killmonger of the Chargers. You know what I'm saying? I was just always in enemy territory. But you and Junior Seau were like idols to me. I got to meet Junior. Rest in peace to my man. You know what I'm saying? And I hope one day I get to meet you and have you sign my dad's jersey.
Oh, the feeling's mutual. Topic, thank you, brother.
Topic at hand. Jimmy G, I give him an A-. He did really good. And this is something that I heard on the broadcast team listening on the radio for the game, is that, he's throwing to high school players. He's throwing to these guys that are not experienced. And a lot of the tackling, I felt like that first half of the game was just a wake-up. Like they said on the announcement, a lot of these guys have not even gotten fresh tackles in yet. You know, the preseason games were all like second, third stringers. And like, this is like their wake up. This is like their first time getting the chance. So I don't hold them on that. Minnesota's bomb. You know what I'm saying? We all know that. I thought they did really good. And if they had a comeback, then today would have been a completely different story. But my question for you, Joe, is what happened with the Chiefs and the Chargers? That's all I got to say.
I'm sorry. This is not Chief Chargers Radio. This is – I was wrong. You know what? And this highlights the beauty of the world. I made three NFL picks yesterday. The Bengals game, which won and no one wants to talk about. The Bears, which won and no one wants to talk about. And the Chargers, which lost. And everyone's calling to see what I have to say about it. Huge swing and a miss. Completely agree that that game was a poorly handicapped game. The analysis I had on Kansas City was what was off. The Chargers were the Chargers. Rivers threw for over 400 yards. He took apart that defense. But there were drops and there were mistakes. It's a bad cap. You address it and you move on. You try not to make the same mistake again. The Chiefs are nasty. The Chiefs are nasty, man. That's a track meet out there.
It is. And as good as the Chiefs are, you take two plays. Just self-inflicted wounds. A drop punt by the Chargers that led to seven. And a punt return. Even though to take that away, it's a different Chargers win. There's two plays that's just unacceptable.
I didn't know it was Christmas time.
No. Two plays are unacceptable. You're getting paid. You don't muff a punt. You don't give the ball to Kansas City on the 1 yard line. Okay, let's be real. Now that's just bonehead football. As a matter of fact, you're doing what you're taught in football in high school, college, the pros. You get to the 10-yard line. If the ball's over your head at the 10 as a catcher, you let it go. Isn't that not what you
hear?
Get
out of the way.
You get out of the way.
Peter. Exactly.
Peter. Pumpkin eater. How do I connect? Get out of the way, son. That's a touchdown. And the punt return, those are two things that you got to button up on. Come on, Chargers.
That's coaching, buddy. And that just falls squarely in the head coach and the special teams coach, because those are mistakes that, like you say, even in Pop Warner, you're taught that.
Don't get past the 10.
Heels at the 10, you don't go back for it.
You even know. Heels at the 10. You just said
we didn't have punts in flag football, but you know,
the most Charger way to start a season is to go 3-and-out and then kick it right to Tyreek Hill and let him run it back for a touchdown. As soon as I hadn't even turned the game on yet.
Yeah.
And I saw they were down 7-0. I'm like, what happened here?
What happened?
And it's just 1, 2, 3 yeah. and out. They punt. Oh, they kicked it right to Hill and he ran it back for a touchdown.
What had
okay.
happened was.
Imagine that.
See, what had happened was.
Who'd have seen that coming?
Yeah. And then you just look at the sideline. Anthony Lynn and everyone on the sideline. And it's like, oh, man, we didn't account for that. We didn't account for that.
Jeez. We forgot that he's extraordinarily fast and has a penchant for scoring touchdowns on the kicking game.
And we're going to punt it to him.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been...
Yeah,
sorry,
okay, sorry about that. 211,
Fremont, 211, thank you for the phone call. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
What's up, brother? Hey, I think everybody was fools on that spread with the Chargers and the Chiefs game. Yes, when Alex Smith leads the division, oh my. Hey, check this out. I don't want to hear... I hope you guys give Carr the same kind of love you're giving Garoppolo on this lot, if he looks like this tomorrow. I don't know where these fans are coming out with. He did good. 3 interceptions that are bonehead interceptions is never good. Now, I'm not going to say it's the end of the world, but look at his quarterback. Look at his touchdown to interception ratio last season in the 5 games, and look at him now already. I would be a little concerned.
Appreciate the phone call. If Carr looks similar to Garoppolo tonight, my assessment will likely be the same. Why? Because the Rams are a very stacked defense and he is learning a new playbook. I would say that he probably has some better weapons at his disposal, a more bankable offensive line than he is playing at home. But if he were to struggle tonight like Garoppolo did against Minnesota, those are the two best defenses in the NFC. You're not going to come in and kill the guy. But again, it's all context. What happens tonight?
I'm not giving him a pass. Fresno, I'm not giving you a pass. If you come in, you play like Jimmy G, he deserves to go at you beat him up, because you got a better running game than San Francisco 49ers. You got, like you alluded to, Joe, you got a better offensive line. You're not playing on the road. You're playing at home. And if you're going to sit there and you throw 3 interceptions and throw into triple and double coverage, you are going to get beat up on the radio tomorrow. Derek Carr will get beat up. That's fair. You know what you have. You know what's at stake. And you know what? By the way, you got a way more starts than Jimmy G. Jimmy G has, what, 7, 8 starts in his career?
Now.
So now you want to sit there and put him on the same? No, Carr, you're supposed to be the MVP? Stand up and play like that. I don't care. You're playing the Rams. You're playing at home. This is a game. You need to find some kind of way to win this game. You're playing against a team that didn't play a lot of their starters. You're playing against a team that doesn't have a great offensive line. You have a better offensive line. They might have a better defensive line. So you're matched up evenly. This is a game. It better not be no blowout. It better not be no friggin' 10-point loss. This better be go down to the wire. And Carr, you should have a chance to win this game. So you need to play big tonight. Yeah. You can't give him an excuse. You got the best offensive line in football.
I don't think anyone's looking to give him an excuse. I think that was a smart call about context. Like, how's Derek Carr going to be treated if it's a similar situation? This is a very unique area. In Chicago today, it's very unified. Here, it's different. You have two fan bases that are at war with one another for no reason whatsoever.
Not for every reason.
You're not in the same division. You're not in the same conference. Niner fans and Raider fans, newsflash, y'all got problems, all right? You're not Minnesota, you're not Philadelphia, you're not New England. You all got problems. Basically, 28 teams come into the NFL every year with problems. You happen to be two of those teams with problems. Stop worrying about the team on the other end of the bay.
Right.
You got your own problems. Raider fans today who are taking all this delight, Niner fans, enjoy it. But wait, see what awaits you tonight. And Niner fans who are getting ready to pounce on Raider fans because of the Khalil Mack thing and everything from yesterday. Just calm down. You got your own damn problems.
Yes.
All right? Everybody's got problems. Except for the A's. The A's played pretty well against Texas over the
weekend. Yeah, no problem
there. I'd
say
the A's look pretty good.
Even Madison Bumgarner has a problem, apparently, with every Milwaukee Brewer. So it's problems all over the board here in the Bay Area sports.
I did a research thing on him real quickly. Bumgarner was an underdog of plus 135 or more, like 6 times in 115 starts from like 2014 through 2017. He's been a dog of that price or more in like 5 of his last 8 starts.
Wow.
That's how far the team, the perception, and his overall performance have fallen. That's a whole different thing. I didn't want to get into that today, but I was looking at that yesterday and like, damn, the Giants stink.
And he was never an underdog. 6 times in his previous 4 years.
6 times from, it was like 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, it was about 115 or 16 starts.
Wow.
He was an underdog of plus 135 or more, like 6 times. He's been a dog of that price 5 in the last 8.
Man.
I mean, why even go on the road trip?
Why?
Why not just stay home?
Stay home.
Stay home. And you don't need the frequent flyer miles.
Football, you
save
know?
The jet fuel.
Save the jet fuel. But I'll tell you right now, guys, jump back on course here, bring it back on task here.
We'll see about that.
No, it is. Going back to the Raiders and the Niners, like I've been saying all along, the Raiders are going to win more games than the Niners, hands down. I told you guys this team is going to probably make the playoffs, the Raiders, that is, and I'm standing behind it. It's a 9-10 win team. What I saw yesterday, the Niners are where I thought they would be. They're going to win 7 to 8 games. That's where I'm still standing. The Raiders, guys, when you look at it, their schedule, this is a tough game. After that, they have some winnable games. This team has a chance for Gruden to look good because they're looking at the next 5 to 6 games. They have a chance to be 5-1 tonight. If they win tonight, the Raiders got a good chance, guys. And I don't think that this Ram team, like you talked about, Joe, the offensive line is questionable. They're playing on the road, didn't play a lot of the starters. This is a great opportunity for the Raiders tonight. They have a good team. This is not some slap team right now. Last year, they underachieved. This year, they're better at receivers. They're better at the quarterback situation. They're going to be smarter. You had an offensive coordinator, guys, that never been an offensive coordinator, and he got elevated to OC.
Is that bad?
Was it bad? How'd that work out for him? Now you got a guy in Gruden who's supposed to be an offensive genius or offensive juggernaut in Carr. I think that you're going to see a team that's going to compete, that's going to be in better games. This is a better team than you had last year.
Speaking of Gruden, Jared in Fremont. Jared, thanks for the phone call. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
How you doing, fellas? Love the show. Got a couple things. Okay, I'm a huge Raider fan, not a Niner hater, but as far as the Niners and Jimmy G, you hit it. Once you get $137 million, that's where the expectations come in. So you deserve the accolades when you do well, and you deserve to kind of get roasted when you throw in 3 interceptions. I mean, I'm very critical of Derek Carr, and, Raider fans get mad at me on that. But once you get paid, man, I mean, it's all at the door. As far as Gruden, I think it's a little unfair for, you see all these Facebook and Instagram posts and people on the radio just roasting him when Khalil Mack does well. I mean, what do you expect? Joe, you said expectations about the Niners going to Minnesota, right? That's a perfect term. What were the expectations him playing when DeShone Kizer comes in the game? The guy was worse statistically than Jamarcus Russell, to put that in perspective. Last year, DeShone Kizer literally had the worst statistical year in the NFL in the last 30 years. I mean, when Aaron Rodgers came back in, Khalil Mack was a little he only had one pressure and 0 tackles. I mean, the guy's great. They gave him $90 million and 2 first-round picks, and there's everybody roasting the Raiders like, oh, look it. Look how good he is. I mean, of course he's going to do well. I mean, look what Chicago gave up for him. They paid him $90 million. So what did you guys expect? The expectations were what when DeShone Kizer comes in the game?
I don't know if the expectations were that high, Jared, and thanks for the phone call, because he did something that has never been done before by my eye. He hit for the cycle, basically, with the forced fumble, the recovered fumble, the interception, the touchdown, and multiple sacks in a half. I mean, even if you thought the Raiders had a good trade because they couldn't get anything for him, you didn't expect him to go out and do that in a half. I don't care who's at quarterback.
Yeah, don't try to apply logic to this situation, because it's not going to work. It should work. Logic should work in all scenarios, but in this one, it's not. The two things you're dealing with here are emotional based. All right. You took a beloved player and you moved him. You made a headline snatching move that so many people were able to gravitate to. Now, whether the deal turns out to be a good one or not, it doesn't matter. The factual stuff doesn't matter here. Gruden is a very polarizing and very popular individual because he won that Super Bowl in Tampa, the whole Chucky mystique thing.
Yep.
Then he's in the booth and he does the quarterback camp show.
Gruden grinders.
Right. Everybody has an opinion on Gruden, right? Whether it's good or bad, everyone's got an opinion on him. So he comes out of the booth. He gets this ridiculous 10-year, $100 million deal. Let me tell you something. You don't even know what other coaches are making. You realize that, right? Go look up coaching salaries. Right. Belichick keeps it quiet. Like, I was doing some research this weekend. They're not just out there. This is the one guy who's treated like a star quarterback where it's a headliner. 10 years, $100 million, fully guaranteed. Nobody else gets that.
And
nobody
else knows who the coach is. When's the last time he's coached on the field?
Right. 10 years. So it's such a ridiculous story. And I don't mean ridiculous in a bad way. It's just so out there that people gravitate to it. And then his first move before he even coaches a game is he takes the most beloved player, the best player on the team, and he trades him. That's a major story. So because of that, everyone's going to gravitate to it. And then just to put the cherry on top, because you know without a shadow of a doubt going into last night's game, Gruden at some point thought to himself, I hope Khalil Mack doesn't go off. The entire Raider organization at some point thought to themselves, I hope he doesn't go off. That's human nature. I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, man, I hope this guy does nothing. And sure enough, he literally puts together the greatest half of defensive football in the history of the NFL.
And people keep saying, well, he's playing against Kyle. Well, last I looked, he was the reason why Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
He played against Kaiser because he knocked Rodgers out of the game.
He was one of the guys that was involved. He had Aaron Rodgers stepping up. Go look what he was doing to Aaron Rodgers. He forced him to throw bad balls. Khalil Mack was playing well with Aaron.
He was Schwarzenegger in the movie Commando, where he just puts the body paint on and takes that little inflatable raft and goes up to that island and kills everybody and then grabs his daughter, Alyssa Milano, and leaves. That's what he was. He was Commando. He destroyed the entire island of mercenaries with his rocket launchers and his grenades and his knife and his guns. He did it all. Here's some context on what Khalil Mack did last night. In the first half, sack, interception, touchdown, forced fumble, fumble recovery. That was in 30 minutes of football, and he didn't start the game. Now, four NFL teams have not played yet. The Lions, the Jets, the Raiders, and the Rams.
Right.
In addition, Mack plays for the Bears. So of the 27 remaining teams, 16 did not combine as an entire team to put those numbers up through full games. Just to give you perspective again, Mack in the first half, sack, INT, touchdown, forced fumble, fumble recovery. The following teams did not record that as a team through an entire game. Tennessee, Miami, New Orleans, the Giants, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Seahawks, the Ravens, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Niners, the Bucks, and the Panthers. 16 of 27 teams did not record that as a team through 60 minutes of football. That is 59% of the league.
Unreal.
So that's why people get excited, and that's why people start knocking Gruden, because he traded away something that's never happened before.
The guy's
but it's a story.
He's a game wrecker, and he might be a season wrecker, depending on how Aaron Rodgers comes out of that knee injury, because Mack was the guy who caused that. He didn't cause the injury, but he caused the sack to happen. He caused the play to happen. And you have to feel for Aaron Rodgers when the news gets broken that Mack is now in the Bears. He's got to be thinking, no, good God.
No.
Why couldn't you wait until week two?
Why didn't we get him? They were in on it.
Yeah.
If you're the GM of the Packers, Gunquist, that was his first game as GM. He came up short of the Mack trade. The guy ends up on your most hated rival and then knocks your franchise quarterback out, who you just gave more money to than any player in NFL history. That can't feel good. So again, Niner fans, it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Your quarterback's still upright, you know. He may not be Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers, of course, came back and led the Packers inexplicably to victory. But if you're the Niners, fine. Jimmy G got his first loss. You move on to Detroit.
Brian and Campbell. Brian, thanks for the phone call. What's up?
Yeah, hey, it pains me to say this. I'm a Cardinals fan, and I'm calling in to give the Niners props. I mean, the Niners were in Minnesota. They lost good one. They lost an offensive lineman. What did they expect Garoppolo to do? And all things considered, they did all right. They're going to button it up and be better next week. But I'll tell you what I was impressed with, was Fred Warner. So now when Reuben Foster comes back, you keep Warner as the mic, and you let Reuben Foster fly around. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Warner and Foster together, that looks to be the fastest linebacker duo in the NFL. Does it not?
It looks to be... Who? It looks to be Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis.
That's high praise.
Young. They still got a long ways to go. But if you watch the way those two guys came on the scene, what could they do? They could run sideline to sideline. P. Willie, Navarro Bowman, they could flat out fly. That's what made them such great linebackers. You saw Warner. I love watching this young player play football. You see the guy. He's going to fire his gun. He's going to get play downhill, played on the other side of this line of scrimmage. There was one play in the first quarter. They were running the ball. You saw the guard and center try to ace block up to him. He saw it happen, and he watched it develop, and he said, boom, I'm going. He went right downhill, didn't let the guard come off to him. He let the guard stay on the double team. He read it, he deciphered it, and he fired, and he went in there and made a tackle. You want to see that from young guys, that they understand, they see a play, they watch the guard, they see what's happening, and they just do what they need to do. Warner is going to be a heck of a player. This guy, I love the intangibles that he's bringing to the team already, and the knowledge of saying, God, yeah, he made some mistakes, but to see it, a lot
lot of guys, Joe, they can't see it, and they let the play develop, and all of a sudden, the guard in the center, they deuce up, they ace block up to him, and now he's locked on to the guy, and he can't come off the block, and now the running back's running down the lane. When you see it, especially when you're a tall guy like Warner is, you want to make sure that he beats the blocker to the play, and he did that a lot yesterday. So here's a guy that's going to fly around, and I think they got a good pick in grabbing Warner.
On an unrelated note, the Cleveland Browns Twitter account is reminding everyone that because the team recorded at least one interception yesterday, if you swing by Arby's, you get a free small curly fry. I don't know what's so funny about that. How come we don't get anything for the Niners game or the Raiders game?
Yeah, it's a good question. Raider game hasn't happened yet, so maybe there is something in the works to maybe we get some onion rings somewhere, somehow. But yeah, about the 49ers, that's a good question, Joe. What do we have coming to us?
Should be something, right? Maybe like a taco somewhere?
At least.
Record anything.
Yeah, maybe hash brown or something along the way.
John Gruden scowls. Everyone gets a free small french fry from Wendy's. All right, we are going to take a break, but the phone lines are loaded. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to have a conversation with Kirk Morrison. We're going to have a conversation with Carson Palmer. We're going to be back in a flash. Joe Lowe and Dibs. And I see you, 925. That is a crude text message. Kiss your mother with that mouth here on 95.7 The Game.
The Silver and Black are back. Derek Carr and the Raiders take on Todd Gurley and the Rams in a Monday Night Football showdown.
Carr back, gonna fire deep down the middle. Amari Cooper grabs it.
Coverage starts tonight at 6 on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.